Welcome to the Cabin Culture Podcast, where we spend a little more time diving deeper into all the fun parts of cabin culture. We like to think of this as both the material and imagined expressions of how cabin lovers, dwellers, builders, and designers wish to live a more simple and authentic life. On this episode of Cabin Culture, join us as we chat with Christy and Craig, the creators of the Mina Lodge, nestled in the scenic Pacific Northwest. Yes, friends, we are actively making our way to more West Coast cabins. So today we're going to chat about how their dream transformed into a blueprint and ultimately a cozy retreat that matches simplicity with modern comforts. They'll share with us their process from the initial land purchase through the ups and downs of a build and how they ultimately created a space that's both photogenic and functional. Let's do it. So nice to meet you guys.
You too.
I think this is our first Oregon cabin.
Yay.
Or lodge.
Great.
It's surprising.
I know, but this has been the struggle because we're in Maine, like moving across the West Coast. We have such a good network of New England cabin owners, and I'm like, I really want to move west. Yeah. So I'm so excited to have you.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so the name of your place is Mina Lodge. In your opinion, what is the difference between a cabin and a lodge?
I knew you were going to ask this. So the definition of lodge varies. It's basically an inn where travelers can stay overnight. And that can be a very small place to a very large place. Typically, people think of lodge in a larger setting. We have a lot of lodges in the Pacific Northwest that are bigger hotels. But we didn't really think Mina Cabin had the same ring as Mina Lodge.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
From a brand perspective, I think it sounds a lot better.
Cool. Thank you. But they're the same thing, really. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think up to the individual a little bit. I grew up in Alaska and I worked for a fishing lodge when I was younger. And a lodge was a place that was warm, you know, in a storm, and it had some hospitality. And I think that felt a little more real than just cabin in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always wondered because I've obviously called all of ours cabins, but my first one in North Carolina sleeps like 12 people.
Sure.
And so the more that I've like grappled with this idea of what a cabin is, almost everyone says that size is part of it. And I'm like, And my husband, Sean, thinks we should call it the lodge. He's like, that one should be Cozy Lodge because it's so much bigger. Yeah. But the size of yours is pretty small. Can you paint a picture for folks who have not seen yours yet? What Mina Lodge looks like, how big it is?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a single story. We designed it to be really easy to move around in. It's got a bit of it's in a surf spot. It's around great surf spots in the Northwest. So we wanted something that could still feel cozy, but you could come in there wet and you wouldn't wreck the place. It's 1,500 square feet, about maybe closer to 1,450. It's three bedrooms, has two bathrooms, has two outside covered patios. So it's not massive, but it's on a half acre covered in beautiful woods and kind of straddles a little between small and generous. Like we can sleep eight people in beds.
Yeah. Wow. For 1,500 square feet, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It lives bigger than it is. We have really high ceilings, or, you know, 14 feet ceilings, and it's heated floors, so it's cement floors, and it just feels very spacious when you walk in, yet still small and cozy.
It's
kind of the perfect little blend.
Yeah.
It has a very open feel to it. I mean, I obviously haven't been there in real life, but I've looked a lot at the pictures online and it feels like it has a really open feel to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of volume.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get further into the cabin, because I have more questions on that front, I'm sorry. Before we get further into the lodge, can you introduce the two of you and just like start by telling me like, how would your friends describe you each as individuals, but also as a couple?
Okay. I'll go first. So I'm Christy. I have lived in Portland the majority of my life and love the Northwest. I love hiking and being outside, and lately we've been surfing more, so that's kind of a newer sport for me. But I think my friends would describe me as being outgoing, and I guess I always have like some new adventure I'm working on, like whether that be like some creative aspect or like now with this, you know, whole building process. I always like to be doing something and kind of learning something new. So this whole process of building has been, I guess, like a game changer in my life and really eye-opening to maybe you want to explore that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope people would say I was really kind and lovely to be around.
It is interesting, I feel like, and we're getting to you next, Craig, I promise. But it is interesting. Building, in theory, feels like this big, intimidating thing until you have a good enough reason to do it for the first time.
Right.
And then you do it and you're like, yes, it is as big and intimidating as I thought it was, but also worth it.
It is.
And then it becomes like kind of addicting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Have you built more than one?
Yeah. Well, cabins, I've only built one of them, renovated one, and kind of renovated the other one. But primary homes, my very first one was a full gut, like, so not built from scratch, but full gut, first time designing, project managing, like all of that. And then later, my second primary home I built, but it was like in a neighborhood with builders.
Okay.
So it feels, that was a really good, the first one threw me in. The second one was like, oh good, I'm guided along. This is easy. And that probably gave me the confidence to think that I could do a cabin later on.
Yeah.
So been through different variations of it multiple times. And the first one did feel intimidating, but I was like, I can't afford to buy a house.
Right.
So this is the best I can do is like figure out how to renovate this one.
I have just as many questions for you, honestly, as you probably do for us, but just curious, did you build yourself at Cozy Rock or did you have a builder?
I hired a builder, but I definitely hired him, but he's also my cousin.
Okay.
So I think that also gave me the confidence to do it out of state. Cause I was like, he owns a building company and is really good at what he does. And we have a good relationship. So I was like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I would have had the courage to do it in the same way if I didn't have him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Craig?
Oh, how would I be described by friends and people that know me? Probably a little more reserved, a little more quiet, listen a bit more than I'm probably out there speaking, a little more introspective. I've always wanted to build. My dad was a builder and did a lot with facilities and construction. So it's always something that has been around me in my life. And it was always a lifelong goal to build something, design something from scratch, like get our ideas on paper and then build it. And then as a couple, I think we just, we balance each other out. You know, she's a little more out there. I'm a little more introspective, like I shared, but we have a great time together. We both love to travel. We both love experiences. I think our life's pretty calm, but if you ask other people, they'd probably say we're always busy.
Yeah.
That's always the interesting thing to hear. In the startup world, it's called pattern matching, where like VCs, when they're looking, they tend to invest based on the people and not necessarily the idea, because the right people can iterate the idea and can end up someplace completely different, but they tend to pattern match. So once they've seen one successful, like someone that they invested in, you know, gets them 10x their investment, and then they like pattern match, right? And I'm beginning to pattern match in the cabin world. And I feel like couples who build cabins like to travel and value experiences over things.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
And then the cabin becomes the thing they invest in because it is an experience, the build and the actual like hosting and traveling there.
Yeah. Totally. Yes.
So how long have you been together and when did this idea come to you?
I'd love to hear your answer on this.
10 plus years.
We've been together since 2009. So you're right. And been married 8 years or so.
Yeah.
And the idea, I would say, I mean, gosh, the idea of wanting to do something like this has probably been there for several years. And we always knew we would want to do something like this because we love to travel. We love to stay in Airbnbs, little boutique hotels. We just love that experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more you travel, the more you start to hone in on what you like and what you don't like. And we were just thinking like, gosh, we could really do this. And then COVID hit and our Oregon coast is beautiful, but it just exploded with travelers and vacation homes and everything was booked. Every time we went to go, it was just booked. So we were like, gosh, this might be the opportunity for us to start our adventure. But even years before that, we've been looking for the right piece of land just for ourselves. And then it slowly morphed into, maybe we should rent and, you know, build. And yeah.
Yeah. I'd say you nailed it.
Yeah.
One thing I like about your story that's a little bit different or quite different than anyone we've talked to is that you don't rent just to guests, but you also had a vision for creating a space for photographers, content creators, videographers. And that is quite different in terms of hosting and design potentially than if you're just creating for guests. So how much did that shape everything from the beginning, from like what land you picked to the designs, all of that?
Everything. Yeah, I would say. So, I mean, I guess, you know, when we were designing the house, we wanted a really large great room that the kitchen could accommodate, you know, however many people we could host, they could all squeeze into the kitchen and feel there was enough space. So that was a really big thing for us. And then the island is really large. It's 9 feet long. It was supposed to be 12 feet long. But we were like, that's really big. But we wanted a space like everyone could gather around. Like if you were catering an event, you know, all the food can be, you know, put on display there. Yeah. And then the room itself is so big, intentionally, because we wanted to host, you know, retreats and, like wellness retreats, yoga retreats, surfing retreats, that kind of thing. And then small elopements and weddings. And so, you know, we made certain aspects of the rest of the house maybe a little bit smaller or different than if it were just a house for us. Mm-hmm. Because we really wanted that, you know, that's where you hang out in the great room.
So. Yeah. I think part of it too is we have a big family and we've always, I feel like, have had semi-cramped family gatherings. And it's like, this is our chance to create a space where everybody can hang out. And they always go to the kitchen. So like we wanted an oversized open
100%.
Kitchen. Yeah. And that just kind of then bled into larger groups or medium-sized groups. And Christy's really been excellent at jumping in on using the space for, you know, other photographers and events, like she explained. That was something that wasn't in the back of my mind, but I think we've generated more interest with that. So there seems to be some demand for those type of special places that are outside of the city for that industry.
And there's not a lot of Airbnbs that do it.
Right.
For a lot of different reasons that I want to get into eventually, but not quite yet. I love what you did with the kitchen. I'm looking at it right now. And honestly, as a videographer for my profession, I look at Airbnbs regularly mm-hmm. to rent for different shoots. And one of the things I always look for is big open space, because it's not just you want depth between the person that you're interviewing or filming in the background, but you also then need to set up all your equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so your typical house, like one of those has to give. And I looked at yours and I was like, oh, and the window light. Like,
yeah.
I immediately could see what you were doing and assumed it was intentional. So that leads me, I'm getting the assumption that you created these plans yourself. You didn't buy plans from someone, you designed the whole thing.
We actually found a cabin plan on Etsy, believe it or not. And we reached out to the company and said, you know, this, we love this as a start, but we want to make this a little bit different. And we used a company called Design with Frank. And they're out of New York, and they were just so helpful in executing our vision. And I mean, we changed our minds a lot. We have like 3 or 4 different house plans. So we need to find more land to keep this going. Uh-huh. But they just really understood our vision, and, you know, they just kept tweaking it and tweaking it for us. Cause there was things like, we don't need a big entry closet, right? Like people don't hang all their stuff up. We need like a little cozy nook, and they just really understood our vision. So we really collaborated over weeks and weeks because I kept changing my mind. And
it's hard when it's your first one.
Yeah,
it is. And when you want a certain, when you want to deliver a certain experience, like that takes iterations,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, and I don't even know, I think, you know, every time you do it, you're going to get better. But we took our time with trying to really be thoughtful about how we wanted people to experience the place.
What were some of those things that you did for folks who are in the very early stages now and either aren't super visual, so it's hard to picture an imaginary space, or have never hosted before? How did you think through that experience from a very like theoretical place?
Well, I guess, you know, anytime we've traveled and you go somewhere that's maybe overly cluttered or there's a lot of nooks and crannies everywhere, it doesn't feel to us comfortable. I think you can do all that in a really mindful way, but a lot of homes we've stayed at didn't have that experience. They're older. It felt just, you know, like you were living in someone's house versus something that was created for renters. And we didn't want to have, you know, like our old photos up and the knickknacks that we've collected for years that we have in our own house. We wanted it to be just very clean, very simple, especially for photographers to go in. And if you need to move a piece of furniture, it's easy to do. There's not a ton of art on the space. You can, you know, really move things around. But when we were thinking of the design itself, we didn't need like a lot of closets. We didn't need upper cabinets. You know, there was just things that we decided, let's just keep it simple, clean, open. And, you know, you don't need a lot in the space. You need your essentials. So
yeah,
we just made room for that.
A couple other things too. We've always saved pictures of other Airbnbs and hotels we've liked in the past 10 years of travel. And that informed,
that's smart,
you know, some design ideas. Christy was great with mood boards and inspiration, you know, pictures and walls. And then once we had the land, many times staked up the floor plan and we would run line and we'd walk and see how that felt. You know, should the covered patio be on this end? Like, know where the weather's coming from, where the light comes from on the land. That was we spent a lot of time doing that. And I think that really helped us make some good decisions that you wouldn't be able to do if you were just thinking about it on paper.
I would say that was huge for us. I mean, when we finally thought we had a final plan, we mapped the whole thing out, the bathrooms, the bedrooms, all of that. And, you know, there were some where like, gosh, we don't like that window would be here and looking at that particular, you know, view. And then we were sitting on the patio, what would be the patio, and looking at the stars. And we're like, you just can't see them as well as you can over there. So like the last week that we thought we were done, ready to submit these plans to our builder in the county, we like completely flipped the house, like a 180. Mm. And thankfully, you know, our design team was so great in doing that. Because we're like, can we move the patio? And they're like, oh gosh, like that requires a whole...
Oh, I would think that would be, this is probably like, they hate people like me. I'd be like, well, you're just flipping it. Yeah. It's fine.
I hope so.
How hard can it be?
Yeah, I would think their software could just invert. I mean, because that's basically what
I mean, I hope
did,
so. But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. So in all the work that you put in, now that you have the lodge, it's like, you can walk through it. You can experience it. What are one of those design choices? And it can be a really small one that you made along the way that you're like, thank God we did that. A tip for anyone else.
Oh, so when the plans itself were done in a way, like for the entryway, the wall kind of extended as you walked in. So you couldn't visually see the great room when you walked in. You had to kind of keep walking down the little hallway and then you'd turn and see it. And as we walked through it with our builder, we were like, you know, can you shave like 3 feet off that wall? And we all agreed it was better to get furniture in and, you know, all the things. But my gosh, that opened up the whole experience. Because when you walk in, you're like, dang, like you wouldn't have seen that whole view before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. How did you come to that? Just by imagining what could be there? Or was it really just practical? Like, let's fit furniture in here.
I think we were in the space. Like it was when it was it wasn't framed yet. It was going to be framed.
It was like
chalk lines on the floor. And when we walked in, we're like, ooh, that feels, you know, it just feels cramped. Yeah. And so I think you asked about principles. Like, I think one of ours for the space was to be as open as possible. So when we were walking through, you know, we were looking at areas where does this feel cramped? Is a line of sight blocked? And so that was kind of a on the fly change that worked out well.
Yeah.
The more time you can spend it, I mean, you probably know this, at the building site, it's so valuable. Like, if you're going to do this, being there as much as possible, staying the nights, like working with the builders, that makes a huge difference.
But how far are you where you live from where your cabin is?
Hour 45.
Yeah, 65, 70 miles.
So that's a pretty easy drive. A lot of folks, myself included, I was a plane flight away or an overnight drive away. So we went up once a month, which felt like a lot, but there are definitely some small things that I really try not to think about because it's too late to change them. So it's like, what's the point where I'm like, if I were here, I might've made a different decision.
Same. Even when you're not there for 4 days, because we went like every Friday to Sunday, I would still come back. And I love our building team. I can't say enough about them, but you know, there's things that you're like, oh, I would have changed my mind on the spot, even though that was on the building plan. You know, it's the feeling.
On the building plan versus like then when it starts going up. There was one window that I'm sure was on the building plan the way that they wanted it. And I just happened to be there and I saw it go up. And then I called Pete, our designer, and I was like, is this where this window should be? And he's like, I think it should be lower. And I made him take it out. It's like the only one that I did. And I felt horrible. But to this day, I'm like, thank God we moved that window.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. What about the interior design? Were you working on that from day one? Or had you done a lot of the interior design mood boarding before you even did the plan? Because it's interesting, right? They go hand in hand, but we tend to do the building and then the interior design later.
Yeah, we did not do it beforehand, really. We kind of did it at the same time. And there was a few things that, like, on the plans, it sounds silly, but you know, you can walk out the space of a room, like the living room. And every time we went there, we're like, wait, does the couch even fit in here? Like, why does it look so small? And then it would look really big. And so that kind of like changed our thinking a little bit about design.
Yeah.
But we kind of did it as we went. And, you know, we didn't know for sure if we were going to get an Airbnb permit. And so there were some design elements, at least for me, in some of the things we bought, maybe that if we knew for sure we were going to be able to rent, maybe that would have changed our mind a little bit. But overall, I think we just kind of did it throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about the permit situation in Oregon. Is that Oregon or your county or?
It's the county. Yeah. So the situation with us in the county, we had purchased the land, had our plans, found our builder, were super jazzed on renting and, you know, started this whole process. And then the county paused for a year of giving new short-term permits. And some of the reason was the residents of the county, which is rather large. There's a lot of Oregon coast cities in the county. They had some issues with the noise and traffic and parking. And so the county kind of just took a pause, reassessed, and then they were going to open and only increase by, I think, 1% per area. And it was like, it was a lottery. So, I mean, I'm just really optimistic and was like, you know what? It's going to work out. Let's just keep going because we're already invested in this, you know? Yeah. And thankfully, we were given a permit. So,
yeah, there were some challenges with short-term housing in this part of the country. So that was one of the reasons that they were reanalyzing, you know, how many vacation rentals should we have in the area. But it was interesting because it's also a big portion of the economy out there, just naturally. Lots of folks come to the Oregon coast for that reason. So it was a little divisive. But I think, you know, we always wanted to build a place for us on the coast too. Like we love the ocean. We love this part of the world. So we were going to try and make it happen, whether we could rent or not. You know, economically, it's a lot better if we can share the experience with folks, but it's always been a goal to have a space out there. So we took some serious risks going for this.
That's what I was going to ask is about financial. For me, whenever I had bought another one or planned the build, I ran so many numbers to figure out if I could swing it. And never did I run the numbers of, if you can't rent it, which in hindsight is like very dumb, especially after hearing stories like this. Once you get the permit, are you then in indefinitely? Like you can renew it every year? Or do you have to go up for lottery every year?
No, you can renew it. From what we understand, you can renew it. They just have to do an inspection. I think it's every 2 years.
They did change the ordinance, though, where if you have a permit, you do have to rent a certain percent of the year. And if you don't, then that permit can come back into the pool for people that, you know, want to do a short-term rental too. So there's some numbers that you have to hit now.
Yeah.
That's really interesting because I feel like if there were some people who didn't rent it that much, like I see how that makes sense if you can only have so many, but in terms of impact on the community,
right,
noises, things like that, if you rent it less, then that's actually better for the community. That's really tricky. I don't envy policymakers right now because I do think there are lots of questions. This is uncharted territory
for sure.
Or it's been charted for a while, but they're trying to figure out how do we do right by the people who live here full time.
Sure, yeah.
And the economy, like what does that look like? So it's really tricky. Okay, back to the interior design. You were saying that you might have done some things differently if you knew you were going to be hosting for sure. What are some, you've collected and created mood boards. What are some design trends that you're totally digging right now in the cabin world? And what are some that you're totally over?
Ooh, I mean, this is a divisive topic, I think.
I love it.
One of the things I would have done and we plan to do, and I'm going to say this really public now, There, you know, the fireplace was a really difficult process for us because no one could quite figure out how to do what I wanted. I've found it on Pinterest. I found other designers who have done it. It exists in real life. So that was a challenging one, but and financially we just took a pause because it took so long to decide what to do. We were in the final 2 weeks of building and we're like, okay, we're not even doing a fireplace right now. And we will add one later, but I don't know. We're divisive of this. Like, he really loves a traditional black, you know, fireplace. What are they called?
It's the wood stove.
Wood stove. And I want like more traditional, like, I don't know, Spanish style fireplace. So that's one.
Yeah, that's okay. That's tough. We actually did a few polls with people that follow us and engage with us about what would be right on a fireplace. You know, do you want gas because it's easy to flip a switch? I'm over that. I think the nostalgia of splitting wood and the crackling and all that is part of the experience. So I think, I think wood stoves are in. I'm personally over a lot of tile. I think so many people have done tile in different ways, subway or mosaic or, you know, so we did some micro cement, some Venetian plaster in our showers.
Yeah.
That was really fun and it was a learning experience. Those were probably two for me. I struggle a little bit with hot tubs. I think that one's controversial too. But we split the difference and did a nice heated outdoor shower, which is great after you surf. So those are three that come to mind for me.
Yeah, the hot tub is a tricky one because like so many people have messaged us, do you have a hot tub? And because we're not right on the beach, we're very close, but we're not, you know, right on the beachfront. We were thinking, gosh, we're going to need to have something to incentivize people to choose us, you know, maybe over someone else. But the hot tub is just so difficult to keep clean. You know?
Yes.
I mean, you know. Do you have one?
Yes, I have one at two of our three rentals. And it's like I pay as much for that. We pay $450 a month each to have it cleaned.
Yeah.
And even then, it's like every time there's a flip, I'm just like fingers crossed, like, is everything okay? Because if you have to drain it and then refill it and then you have a guest checking in that day, it's not going to be warm for them. It's just when it gets too cold, you're like, are the lines going to freeze? Like, it's just a it's just a constant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say it definitely increases bookings because at the one in Boone, we didn't have one for the first year and then we added it. But it just is a matter of how your nervous system can really handle stress.
Yeah.
We did run electricity for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
just in case.
So you can always decide later. Yeah.
We're leaning towards potentially a sauna next, which is another sort of something that can heat you up in the cold winter, but maybe a little bit easier to manage. Yeah. And if you're already doing a wood stove, you know, you use the same wood to run the sauna and can be really fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's on our list of sometime in the next year. We've talked about it, but I don't know. Honestly, I would be curious if you get one, what you find in terms of like cleaning a sauna. And like, I mean, it's not the same as a hot tub, but it's, I mean, people are like sweating in it. There's got to be some process for that and what it looks like. And that feels like a big unknown.
Yeah. No, our cleaner was kind of like, yes, you don't have a sauna. so we'll have to talk to her and the company about it if we do, but yeah, we'll cross that bridge. We have one at our house here in the city and for two people, it's very easy to keep clean. But yeah, when you're turning things over, it's the same thing. Anytime we turn something over, I'm crossing my fingers that like, it's all okay.
Yeah. I know. And
I think you asked about trends too. Like I think some of the good old fashioned things still hold, like a comfortable bed, good pillows. And we've gotten great feedback on having a well-equipped kitchen that like a person could do maybe a larger meal in with a group of friends or even someone who might be, you know, for some of these events, they bring in chefs. And so that's had good feedback too, which is something Christy focused on more, but makes a lot of sense now with the way people are using it.
Can I ask questions about the logistics? So, okay, when did you launch?
I just have to go back and say, because I don't want to ever sound judgy. I think all cabins in their own way are so cute. So things that I find maybe like a little overrated, I still really enjoy the experience, you know?
Do you need me to offer some judgmental opinions here to make you feel better? Because I will gladly offer some.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. I think like what I'm totally feeling right now is like vintage furniture with personality. I'm totally feeling that. Mm-hmm. What am I not feeling? This is the judgmental part. I think I'm with you on the tile. I think in a cabin, sometimes I see a lot of tile and I really like the more natural look of yours. And Main A-Frame does that really similarly too, just like really natural. I think if you can use wood in a bathroom, I love that, says the person with tile in our bathroom. But like the more wood in a cabin, the better, I think. So I think what I'm not feeling is when we're like losing the personalities of cabins. And I see that sometimes in the name of like high-end design.
Yeah.
And I don't think you have to have high-end, traditionally high-end design to charge high-end prices, which is what I think people are doing. I think you can have a high-end design that has personality and like heart to it. And I don't see enough of that.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that really like speak to me, I think.
Yeah, I agree with those.
So you're not being judgmental. I think it's totally okay to love all the humans behind all the cabins and also have opinions. And it's impossible not to have opinions when you have just gone through the build process, right?
Because
you've literally had to face every room and every material and like, and figure out which of these do I like the most. And it is what it is.
Right. I even have opinions about our own. I'd be like, I'd change that. I do this. I do that. But that's for the next house.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Do you have, when you went into this, did you have a long-term vision or was it like one, let's do this. And then through that process, you're like, I think we could do this again.
Oh, we have a long-term vision for sure. Yeah.
Can you share it? How much of it can you share?
Well, I wouldn't want to share everything, but because we don't know for sure yet. If we did, I'd certainly share, but we have two plots of land next to each other. So our original idea, which was crazy, actually, in hindsight, we were going to build two duplexes on each. And then when we walked the floor plan, we're like, gosh, we lost all of our land. And so we kind of changed the plans of just having one unit. But we eventually might build on the second. It just really depends on the county and the permit process there. But we really would love a space on a river. And we have a favorite river in mind. Should we ever find land on it? We would love to do that. That's an idea for sure. We are building a like little mini cabin on our property and that'll be probably in the next couple months, 6 months or so. And that's really just for this guy to go surfing anytime he wanted to. to have a little surf shack. We just want to, I guess, keep going. It's just a matter of like the financials, finding the right land and maybe even finding the right house to remodel, but we're definitely open. Yeah.
That was going to be my next question of, have you ever done a remodel and is your preference to build from scratch or have you ever done a remodel or even a, like, would you be open to even a turnkey if you found one that you loved and you're just like, okay, we can rent this one?
Yes. And yes. We remodeled our own house in Portland and we lived in the basement for 15 months. And did the same thing you did, just gut it to studs and slowly built it up. And we were much younger and, you know, the bank account wasn't the same back then. And so we really was like, we're doing it piece by piece.
It was very educational. It's an old 51 bungalows home in Portland, pretty classic, but we love it and it came out well. I think there's this concept that you finish at some point and you never finish, like the work always continues, whether it's maintenance or the next change.
I do.
I love the character of certain homes. I think that once you get a design, there's something really special about that because you're able to, if you're doing it for you, you know, primarily in mind, it's sort of a manifestation of who you are and what you like and what you want to live in and what feels comfortable. And that's a really, you're fortunate to be able to go through that experience in life. I don't think everyone gets to do that. So we feel very fortunate to do it and it produces a different result, which just feels really good and comfortable and positive when you're in it.
Yeah. I do think there's something once you've built, it is harder. I think it's easier to start with like a renovation and go to a new build than it is to go the other way around.
Oh, yeah.
Because in a new build, you just have complete control.
It's 2 months almost. Yeah. That was the biggest thing for me when we first opened. And to answer your question earlier, we opened for renting the mid in December. like middle and okay. December. And right when we opened, that was my fear of, you know, you have a little bit more grace if you buy a house and maybe you flip it, you remodel a little something here and there, and people go in and they give you a little bit of grace for that. They're like, oh, it's an older house. Like, it's great for an older house. But when you've designed everything, I just feel like everyone was or could have judged every decision, because I certainly do. Did mm-hmm. you put the sconce there? Is that the right place? You know, all the little things. So that was really hard. I'm getting over it now. It's been 2 months. But gosh, the first few weeks, I just felt like stressed out all the time.
Oh, yeah. And the feedback feels so personal. And sometimes it just feels so vulnerable to both rent it to people, but then also to share it on a public platform, which is really effective for marketing, but just leaves like everyone thinks that they can offer their feedback. And you're like, oh my God, I spent so long on this build making every decision. Right. Like, I don't need, it's done. I don't need feedback now. I'm not asking for feedback right. now.
That's where you're having the inspiration board and kind of your philosophy or your principles down helps a lot. Because we would get lost in some decisions and we would kind of say like, time out, let's go back to our inspiration yeah. and be like, okay, yep, we need to do this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did you articulate that at the beginning as a couple, two individual humans? How did you come to a shared vision? How did you express that? Did you have like a mission statement? What did that look like for you? I think that's such a good idea.
A mission statement's a great idea. I don't know. I mean, we talked about every single decision. And like, you know, one of us would find something like, here's five lighting options. What do you like best? Maybe you don't like any of those, but like, what's the better one? And then let's, you know, pick from there. And
I think I wanted to get the bones right. I was more worried about yeah. the utility of the space. Again, like we've got cement floors, so we're dog friendly. We've got sand from the beach. We've got people with salt water. We want surfers to use it. So like we're taking our wetsuit off on the floor. We didn't do trim. We did shadow gaps so that wood on the floor doesn't absorb water. It's heated so that it evaporates water. The kitchen's pretty utilitarian with the tops we chose. Like, so I think for me, yeah. it was more, will it hold up in the environment? Because we get pretty rough weather on the Oregon coast. Can a surfer kind of do whatever they want in there? Can a dog run around? Can kids play in there? And the building will hold up. That was what I was yeah. more worried about. Christy was much more focused on, you know, design and how it'll feel, how it'll look at the end, which she did a great job with. So I think we balanced yeah. each other because we sort of focused in different areas. Yeah,
that's so true. And we really both wanted monochromatic. Like at first we were looking at like all this beautiful, but a little bit elaborate marble countertops and, you know, like shifting the colors because we're like, gosh, that's a really cool stone. And we kept going back to our mood board and we're like, that is not at all what we wanted to do here. We just wanted everything to be very calm, very neutral. And so it was really the mood board, just continuously going back to yeah. that. And we had this one image where we're like, this is nothing like this. And if we did that counter, it's going to shift the whole thing. And are we ready to do that? So
I think you just nailed the hardest part about design, which is that you can like a lot of different things. That doesn't mean they all go together and create a space that yeah. feels cohesive. And you've definitely mm-hmm. created yeah. that space. Do you believe sure. in lace-based design? Because I look at the inside of yours and it feels to me like it belongs in the location that it is.
Oh, yeah.
Was that intentional or is that just you were born and raised in Oregon? So it's like natural that you would create something like this.
Well,
go ahead and then I'll go.
Well, you go.
I think so. One of the best things we did is we spent many nights camping out there at the land. We had a little tow behind, like toy hauler, that we stayed in for a year. We camped in the back of our SUV. We camped on the land, and that completely informed what we wanted to put in that place. Like, you know, there were, because when you start, you can do anything, right? You could go really modern, you could go two story, you can do two buildings. And something about spending time there and how that land is laid out just made a lot of sense to have that simple design, because it gets hit hard with weather where it's at on the Oregon coast. I think the space or the place informed what the building was.
Yeah. And you know, the area, it's so beautiful. The whole Oregon coast is beautiful. There's cute cabins all over the place, but there's a lot of very specific looking coastal houses with like cedar shakes and, you know, places start to look alike. And so we were like, how can we stand out yet fit in and create like a little cabin that still blends in nicely, but it's a little different, a little bit more modern, which is why we went black. You find black houses all over the city, but you don't find them at the coast. And so that really informed how we were going to design the outside. And when you walk up to the house, it's so simple. I mean, it's very long. It's all black. You know, it just looks very simple. And then you go in and it's just so warm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. it rains in the Northwest. And so we were like, we really want you to walk in and feel like you're in the Mediterranean or like somewhere warm, right? Mexico. Yeah. And so that informed all the colors. It's like,
yes, it feels like a Tulum style, like villa yeah. almost.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's yeah. travel inspiring us. Like we've been to, those are our favorite places where they're simple like that. They're warm. You shuffle around mm-hmm. barefoot. And that's, we wanted to bring a slice of that to the Oregon coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think there's something to be said in interior design for minimalism, which is not my strength. And so I'm looking at one of your bedrooms and it's like, it might not be pure white, but it's like white walls, off-white rug, white comforter, like white pillows, and this natural wood side tables. And then these white lights that are just like perfectly placed above the bed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard to go minimalist without looking like you haven't decorated. And you have somehow nailed that balance where it looks like there is just enough here. It is like just right without creating that clutter that I think. And meanwhile, in my cabin, I put like tree cookies all over the wall. And someone commented on one of the posts and was like, I love it. But someone's like, this is giving me anxiety just looking at it. And I'm like, yeah, I can see that now, how it might do that. But like, that's right. Like having a minimalism is all about like helping to declutter your mind, mm-hmm. but you've done it in a way that's still beautiful. How did you stop yourself from over decorating?
Oh, please. It was the budget.
Asking for a friend.
It was the budget.
Oh, nice.
For me. I mean, so the bedrooms we wanted really simple, but you know, eventually I want to get different nightstands. And like,
oh, I love these. Don't replace the little four-legged ones. I literally was going to ask you where you got them because I need one for back here.
They were from Bed Bath & Beyond, four for $85.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so cute and they're great because you can bring them to the dining room and have extra seating. And so we thought like that.
Wait, you can sit on them?
You can sit on them. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I might need these for the cabin, actually, because that, you know, in a small cabin, we like don't ever have enough seating when I have family over. Okay. Bed Bath & Beyond. What a deal.
Right.
They look really good. It looks like that was just the best sourced item for that room.
I mean, yeah, thank you. I mean, yeah, some of it was just that like eventually, yeah, I could go on and on about eventually what I want to do. But you know, that's what's
I know that game well.
I think one thing I'll add that we've learned with our home renovation and in life is you don't always know what you want to do right away with a space, yeah. you know, so don't go too far into decorating mm-hmm. or putting things in the space until you live in there a little bit. Because some of the best decisions we've ever made weren't our first decisions. They, you know, they are months yeah. later or a year later.
Yeah.
And that's really good advice.
Everything, at least for me, I feel like I'm maybe not a decisive person. I learned during this process because the options are endless. Like right now I'm trying to buy a floor lamp and it's been 3 weeks and I have like four narrowed down, but you just don't know, you know?
I feel like that's what I spent the majority of the bill doing was sourcing stuff. And I had like, I had hired an interior designer, but to be fair, she had told me you're going to need to source things because she was on maternity leave and did me a favor for doing it. But I swear I have never had more respect for her than when I was sitting on my couch every single night. Like, okay, my goal for tonight is bedside tables. That's it. And then I would spend all night like looking at options yes. and still sometimes making the wrong choice.
Oh yeah. The wrong choices haunt me, but you know, you got to move on.
Yeah.
I know. I wish I could, but I have a chair sitting in that room that I dropped $850 on as a splurge item. And then it showed up and it didn't work. And you don't return a pallet with a giant chair on it. So now it's just holding clothes in the other room. What are you going to do?
I mean, the dining table we just ordered, I think, is like 10 inches too short. I'm debating on exchanging that. Like, yeah, it's just,
it's hard to know.
It's hard to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Any tips on sourcing for folks? Because you've done quite a good job with this. Is there anything you would advise? I like Craig's advice. You don't have to go, you don't have to get it right the first time. Mm-hmm. You can always like change. Christy, do you have any design advice for someone who's in that sourcing phase right now?
Yeah, I would say focus on your basics. Get those right. You know, your sheets, your pillows, your mattress, your, you know, blankets, if you're going to have those, towels, et cetera. Get that stuff done first. Because that's really expensive, and then see where you're at with your budget. One thing that we did that was so helpful is make a huge Excel spreadsheet of every little detailed thing we need, down to the hooks, the forks, the measuring cups, yep, everything. And then just slowly, you know, plugging away. And I also did Word documents of different rooms and putting all the pieces together and seeing how they would fit. And doing, yep, all of that before you buy.
Yes. Yeah. Canva is really good for that too. I used Canva for all my mood boards to like, and you can use a background remover to like remove the background, and then I could put it all together. And then I would do like, I would just copy that room and swap out the rug and be like, how does that change the whole room? Right. And like, that was game changing for me because I'm not good at design. So I needed to picture it and be like,
yeah,
how bad is it?
The decision. Yes. I'm very visual too. And I found Canva toward the end of our process, but it would have been so much better. Word.
Yeah, but Word, it's the same idea. Right. It's just dropping those photos in there. In fact, I did it for Cozy Rock I did it in just Google Drive spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And I would put different options, and then I could filter by room, and I would actually put the photo in one of the columns. So I could filter by room and then see all the things that I had picked just together visually to see how it looked. And then I could like unfilter and do a different room. And that worked really well too. So the tool doesn't matter. It's just that idea of like putting them together visually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pinterest is good for that, but it shows like the whole room. So you can't like really see how those specific items go together.
Pinterest is, I love Pinterest, but man, that can get you in trouble because to create that look is thousands and thousands of dollars. So, I mean, we did that a lot with the lodge, and then we're like, okay, how do we achieve that look for cheaper?
Yes.
And at first I was like, you know, you want to grow your social media account. And so the more things you can tag, sometimes the better, right? And that was my philosophy initially. And then I was like, that doesn't matter. What matters is the people who are in the space and how you feel in the space. And so I kind of like tried to shift that out of the way.
Yeah.
And a brand might repost you one time and it doesn't mean anything, right?
And so it almost never translates. We've had West Elm and like other ones repost us, nothing. But what does translate though is we bought almost all of our lighting off of Etsy from small businesses. And they will always repost, and they have loyal followers who love their stuff. And if they like, so I feel like shop with the small businesses on Etsy. And that's where, one, I just like it better. But two, I think for reposting, you get more bang for your buck.
We do. And any local stores. I mean, in Portland, we're so lucky. We have the cutest stores, the best creatives, like everyone's willing to collab with you. And like, that's really, I mean, and that's like the heart, right? Like you want to create those relationships. So shop less at the big box stores and go small.
But to Craig's point, it was hard for me to, I did that for the things that really mattered, but some of them at the last minute, it was like, I'm getting whatever is cheapest because I don't have that much money left. And then over time though, I've been able to like replace it with things that I discover or whatever along the way. Yeah. So it can be a process.
Yeah,
but I like that. Okay. I want to talk before we run out of time about what it's been like hosting creators and photographers, because I've done a little bit of this, but it's mostly photographers who are just photographing our spot. And I find the tricky part to be the logistics of they need it during the day, but that takes up two nights. So are you charging them for two nights to make your business model make sense, but it doesn't make sense for them? How have you navigated that serving two very different markets?
Yeah. So I'll say in the beginning, you know, it's winter when we opened. We kind of allocated the first 2 months of maybe making less money and wanting to collaborate with people. You know, we had our own little list of people that we've followed for a long time in the city. And we were like, you know, we really want to get them in the space to use the space and enjoy it. And of course, post, you know, and help advertise for us. So a lot of it was just trades for photographs and content and marketing. But now we're starting to move into, you know, charging, because it is taking two of your nights away as our bookings are increasing. We can't really afford to do that. And obviously we built and designed this whole thing and we need to pay ourselves back. And so there's a little wiggle room if you want to do this. I think trades are really important and collaborating with creatives is really important. But now if someone is shooting for an entire day that takes two nights, we're just charging the two night rate. And that may shift too over time, right? Those rates may change. But certainly, I mean, you want to have your cleaning fee paid, you want to have your nights paid. And it kind of just depends on who it is. Like some people are worth doing a trade with because they're really going to get you a lot of bookings. So, you know, we're still trying to figure it out. It's only been 2 months and I'll just say it's such a blast. It's so much fun. It's so creative. I didn't know I would love it this much, but you know, helping to design styled shoots is just a blast. So
how did you get into that piece? So that means you're there like when they're doing it, or you help them design and plan ahead of time?
Both. And sometimes a photographer just comes with their own ideas and says, hey, can I use your space? I have this idea I want to shoot. And, you know, they'll run with the whole idea, find other vendors to coordinate with. But yeah, I'll be at a few of them. We have a couple the next 2 months. And so I'm definitely going to be there in person to help. You know,
do they pay you for that? Is that like an additional revenue stream of like added service, or that just comes with booking your space? You get Christie's help with the style.
It kind of depends on what it is or who it is. You know, sometimes people just want to run with it themselves. Sometimes folks want to have me to collaborate with. So I'll just say, you know, we have a couple elopement shoots coming up that I'm helping to design and worked with a photographer on, and that I just want to be at because it's so much fun and I want to help and I want to meet all these creatives. Like this is such an opportunity to just meet all these new people. And, you know, a lot of them are elopement photographers that will, you know, maybe come back with a real client. And
yeah,
it's nice to have that personal connection with them.
I did wedding films for years. So was in the wedding industry and never did a styled shoot just because we didn't have to really, but I always kind of wish, like, I've never seen something like that exist outside the wedding industry, where a group of creatives all say, hey, I'm going to donate my time and my things together so that we all can create this vision of, and the idea, right, is that, like, this is what I want to shoot more of. So if I create the styled shoot, I can then show it in my portfolio and book more of that. But it just seems like such a synergetic experience.
So fun.
That folks get to come together and do it, and it benefits everyone.
It does, yeah. And for us, like at the beginning, we have all these little goals of, you know, we want to have surfers there and we want to have creatives there and elopements and yoga retreats, et cetera. So it's important to get content in all those areas.
Yeah.
So we can hopefully get guests, you know, to book with us for those things.
How much did you do to prepare for the hosting side of it while you were building? Because the build side is so overwhelming and you hadn't hosted before. So how did you get your mind wrapped around not only surviving the build, but also then immediately getting ready to host people?
We still are. Yeah. I mean, it's a complete shift. You're like, okay, all the building, you know, you're in sweatpants and stained clothes and like, you're like in there sweating and working and, you know, all the things. And then it's like, whoa, how do I set up my Airbnb account? How do I get my website launched? Yeah. Like you switch into this business mode of, you know, where's my cleaner? Like, how do I find a cleaner, a maintenance person? And yeah, we're still kind of getting that all figured out, but
yeah, I think, you know, when Christie mentioned the long Excel list of what you need to outfit the space and the design, we also had in there like items that would be important to an experience when you host, things that we liked at places where we've been in the past, like, wow, we never would have thought of that, but we love that this place had that. So we also had sort of a vision of, we need to be able to deliver this experience through the whole building process. And so we sourced some of those things as we went. I think that part actually came through pretty seamlessly because we had been working on it prior.
Yeah. It's the Airbnb part of it. I think when you first post your space on Airbnb, it's not the most intuitive process. I think the platform is really great once you're launched and things are going, but I think as a new host, it's just, you know, new things to navigate. So just learning all of the admin side of the house and the responses back to guests. And, you know, it's the more feedback you get, the better you are. Your guide will get updated when you have guests stay there and you realize you forgot to add in where the garbage can is located.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of that happens along the way. I feel like similar to the minimalism with decorating, part of my personal work is not overdoing guest messages with like all the details. Cause every time someone misses something, I'm like, oh, I should put it over here. I should put it over here. But I'm like, but if I send them like a 2-page welcome email, are they going to read it? So figuring out how to like put only important stuff, I feel like, is a constant struggle.
Yeah. One thing that we've liked at previous places we've stayed that we've tried to carry into ours is QR codes here and there. And you can have like informational videos, which we're trying so hard. Because sometimes it makes sense, but we will not put signs on the walls next to the thermostat or the washer. Like, we're trying to
avoid that. He's like, no.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly about this. I am a hard no signer.
Sam, I'm with you.
But I think if you go to one place that has signs everywhere, you turn into that person. Because what it feels like, I'm pretty sure we've talked about this on the podcast before, so I'm sorry if anyone's heard this, but it feels like someone is there right over your shoulder.
They're controlling
like, oh,
your
hey,
experience.
Reminder.
Yeah.
This isn't your house. This is my house. Okay. So make sure you're doing all these things right. And I so badly want people to view it as their cabin and they come back there once a year to their cabin. And I just feel like whatever I can do to not remind them that it's not theirs, and signs just...
Yeah,
I know.
If you want to turn the heat up to 72, it's your weekend.
I know. Sean and I also feel differently about this. He's like, he would put signs like, do not move the logs in the gas stove at our one cabin. And I'm like, so what? They were probably trying to figure out how to relight the pilot light because it went out. Like, wouldn't you do that too?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It is hard because you're always trying to prevent like tons of messaging. And that's one way to do it. So it's a balance for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we have like 2 minutes left, but I haven't asked anything about the build process. Did you all build it yourself or did you hire a builder?
We hired a builder. We did a few things ourselves, but thankfully we hired a builder and we were going to do it ourselves. And thankfully we didn't because they were so fast. I mean, start to finish, it was 7 months.
Yeah. Wow, that is fast.
Yeah. Part of that was a design, single story, slab on grade foundation. I mean, pretty straightforward to build. It's always been a dream to build and we thought about it, but it just would have been way too much with two, you know, full-time jobs. Yeah. We're glad that we had a great builder.
Yeah.
Any tip from the build that folks could only get from you, like unique to your experience?
Well, we have a whole list, I'll say, but be there as much as you can. Like, yeah. Every day if you can. And it's not to say, of course, we trust our builder to do, you know, anything, but you may want to change something when you're on site and you wouldn't know that. I mean, the plans are great, but you can't feel what that feels like. You don't know how wide the hallway is when you're walking down there with, you know, a load of towels. Like, you want to be there.
Yeah. Two that come to mind for me, absolutely love architects and what they can do, and they can design beautiful things, but you know, look for standard sizes in your windows and your doors and your fixtures. You'll often get custom sizes and those come with a price tag if you can get them. And then just like they say, measure twice, cut once, like review all of your decisions, your plans twice. Cause we got caught a few times where it was like, we didn't look at that again. We should have looked at that again. So take the time to double check what's in your plans, what's coming up next in the build schedule, and you'll find things.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Guys, well, congratulations on launching and like your real, I mean, since if the first 2 months are for photographers and creators and things like that, you're getting close slash are launching to the general public right now. Is that true?
We've been launched to the general public. We've just squeezed in the photographers anywhere we don't have a booking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been
so fun. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, you'll have to come out sometime.
Yeah,
I know. I would love to. My best friends. So I have a love-hate relationship with Portland because I had never been. And then it stole my best friends and they left North Carolina with their two children and moved to Portland.
Yeah.
Darn it.
So I've been out once to film a wedding with them, but I would like to come out again. So I will definitely be in touch.
Great.
Yes.
It was so good to meet you. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. And if you liked what you heard, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or share some of your favorite parts over on Apple Podcast. If you have feedback or suggestions for the future, you can also find me on Instagram @CozyRockCabin. Looking forward to next week.